ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة.
Muslim family.
Islamic family paradigm.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of the one who created man and women as clothing for one another. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to COI, the program Muslim Family. Please be with us with today's program.
Looking up at the sky, searching for Allah Most High, he rejected the way of worshipping gods of clay. Prophet Ibrahim knew that Allah was near, and that the heart of a Muslim is sincere. Under the hot burning sun, he declared God is one. Though with stones on his chest, his iman would not rest. The Mu'adhin knew that right will conquer wrong, and the heart of a Muslim must be strong.
Dear brothers and sisters, welcome to Muslim Family. We are with you today with Dr. Abbas Ali Shamili. He holds an MA in Developmental Psychology and a PhD in Culture and Values in Education from McGill University, Canada. He has over 12 years of education in the Islamic Seminary in Qom and about the same number of years experience in issues regarding family counseling. And I'm Fatima Shamili, your host for today's program. Please be with us for today's program. But before that, let's say salams to Dr. Shamili.
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I need also to express my salams and greetings to yourself and to all brothers and sisters for listening to this program.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, please be with us for today.
It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we said before, this is a program, Muslim Family, that's being sent to you. We're speaking to you from the holy city of Qom, the heart of the Shiite center of the world of Islam. As the name says, we try to picture the image which comes to mind as the ideal Muslim family. We start from the very basic tenets of the teachings of Islam and try to present a kind of comparative view of the Western world and the Islamic world. We started with issues like why is it necessary to get married in the first place? What Islam says about marriage? Why same-sex marriages are negated in Islam? And a lot of other information. Now, today, as we said in our last session, we talked about same-sex marriages. And we talked about why it is negated, why this idea is so much negated. And we said we had a pathology of what are the reasons of our argument was. And we said that in order to understand why this kind of marriage is not accepted in Islam is that we have to look at what the goals of marriage are. Now, when we take a look at what the goals are and when we realize, okay, this A, B, and C is why we want to get married, then we realize if we want to step in this frame, then what are the roles and what are the responsibilities? We did talk a little about this, Dr. Shamili, but today we want to step a little ahead. If not same-sex marriages, then men and women, families consisted of men and women. So we want to get into the discussion of what is the status of men and women in an Islamic ideal family.
I believe that when we talk about men and women within the family frame, always we need to go back to the main theory or main foundation that Islamically we agree upon. Islamically, men and women come together based on a major theory that we call it complementary theory. And this, complementation provides us a bunch, a pack of rights and responsibility for males and a pack for females.
Right.
But this type of complementary theory is based on a previous conception, and that conception is spouseship. Spouseship in its natural and normal way, not manipulated. Okay? When we talk about spouseship, we mean interrelationships between two, male and female, a pair.
Mm-hmm.
Always we emphasize that spouseship in Islam provides a conception of complementary roles and responsibilities.
So, to put it more clear, we don't mean that women are lower or higher than men, or that men are lower or higher than women. They're equal, but they don't have similar rights or responsibilities. They don't have similar duties within the family, right?
Yeah. Spouseship provides a pack of rights and responsibilities which are not necessarily the same, but keep each and every male and female in their own position, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala obliged both men and women based on the gifts, based on capacities, potentialities and qualities that each of them received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And I think, you know, the Bismillah that I started with in the beginning of our program, I said, in the name of the one who created man and women as clothing for one another, this was chosen purposefully, because when we say complementary roles, you know, just as clothes, they cover your, maybe the shortcomings that your body may have, or they make you look more beautiful,
or they
save you from cold,
exactly.
They save you from heat. So exactly, they fill the gaps.
Yeah. So the concept of dressing and clothing creates a new conception of filling the gaps,
mm-hmm.
and providing the something acceptable to fill the gaps.
Okay. Now we want to give ideas to our listeners, which can be applicable to today's world, to the 21st century. Okay, what we see as the role model in Western world, and a lot of Muslim families who are living in the Western world, because they are our major audience, or people who are living in non-Islamic country. This is better if I put it this way. The role model that we see, the value system that we see, is that both men and women work. They have a kind of sharing of responsibilities. You know, it's not like the lady sits at home and she calls her husband, like, buy this and that and go pick up the kids. You know, everything is shared. Even the money that they make, like, everything they plan in life is based on what they both do. Whereas when we compare it with the idea of, like, what Islam traditionally has given us, and the story of Lady Fatima and her husband, peace be upon them, the Prophet tells them that it's better if the distribution of responsibilities in the house goes with Fatima and the ones outside of the house goes with Ali. So do you think that, like, if you give it to a modern Muslim, if we want to put it in this way, a person who is practicing Islam and who wants to be active in the society as well, what would be your suggested model?
Although it seems to be a bit problematic for men and women today, in present time, that it's almost impossible. And immediately when they talk about complementary roles and responsibilities, they come to the same conclusion that you mentioned. Okay, complementary means we both pick up our children, we both work, we both, you know, mm-hmm. everything
we
in
fill
a shared
together, right?
Yeah, to cooperation. Both within and outside the family framework. When you want to apply the Islamic teachings in modern or postmodern temporary life, we always need to be able to differentiate between the core and periphery, the core and the forms. What Islam demands as a Muslim who is submitted to Islamic teachings, what Islam demands is protection and keeping and holding the core.
Mm-hmm. And okay. Being flexible
the
in the
cornerstone.
Right.
But in terms of the forms, in terms of the structures, in terms of the styles, in terms of the fashions, you're free, flexible. It depends on the demands of times and places.
Right.
Okay. But the more important thing for us as a Muslim, as a dedicated Muslim, to be careful about the core, submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is very important is to be submitted to the teachings of Islam. But teachings of Islam is not, you know, if for us, it's not possible
right.
to compare ourselves and present life to the past. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, different needs, different...
Conditions have changed.
Yeah, everything changed. So the most important is protection and being careful about the core of the Islamic teachings. This is what Islam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands.
Okay, but the core of Islamic teachings does not, for example, tell women to sit at home, not to be educated and not to work, right?
No, no. It depends on the conditions. Although in the present time, it's not impossible for women to stay at home and at the same time be educated. Nowadays, you have the conception of homeschooling. You have the conception of virtual universities, distance education. You know, these are the possibilities.
But you see, the problem is not just education. I mean, like, there are families that have children, and they need two incomes to feed, like, the family. So, like, the man just going out working, only one person, is not enough. It doesn't suffice the cost of the family.
This is not necessarily the duty of men and women themselves. This is, to my understanding, the duty and the responsibility of the governments and states to be careful, to have plannings to protect the families. If both men and women need to work together outside the house, okay, who is going to take care of the, you know, young generation, next generation? So don't put the whole burden in the shoulder of parents. Okay, you know, the missing point is not the men and women themselves. This is the duty of the governments, states, and I believe the international laws to provide an environment of the possibility of staying at home at the same time having enough income in order to be able to...
Okay, I have a few points on what you just said, but before I make them, we're going to go for a break and we'll be right back. Muslim Family,
a program from the Call of Islam.
In a poor, meager state, little food on a plate. Mother said she was glad, always sharing what we had. When I asked how can we share what's not enough, she said the heart of a Muslim's filled with love. He said it's time you should know, you will learn as you grow, that some people around will do what's bad to bring you down. Father said to be a star that's shining bright, for the heart of a Muslim does what's right. It's the heart of a Muslim through the guidance of Islam that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. It's COI you're listening to, and it's Muslim Family. This is the time for presenting to you this specific program on the ideas of what the image of an ideal Muslim family would look like. I'm Fatemeh Shamili, the host of this program, and we have Dr. Abbas Ali Shamili as our expert. Dr. Shamili, in line with your words and in line with the topic that we were discussing about the status of men and women in family, in Islam and in the West, you said that we have complementary roles in Islam, and we don't have like necessarily equal roles. So they have to have equal rights, but they don't have to be the same equal rights, right? And you said that Islam is not flexible in its major rules and its core, but the periphery, yes. You yourself have to be creative to be able to adapt exactly. your lifestyle in a way that will not date back to 14 centuries ago when Islam was sent, or you don't have to, as you always say, you don't have to take everything for granted and think that, okay, because the Western world is doing this, then let's also do this system. You said, you made your last point that we dropped off with was that I asked you, maybe it's not possible for some families to, you know, to have enough income by just the man working outside the house, and sometimes they both have to work, they don't have any other choice. You said that it's the responsibility of the society. Now, my argument would be that, well, you know, there are people, you have different levels in the society. You have the poor, you have the middle class, you have upper, lower middle, I don't know, lower, upper, and then you have the upper class or the elite group, right? So not everyone is like educated. Some people are doing, as they say, blue collar jobs, or jobs that are, you know, less paid. Okay, in that situation, and they don't have like only one child or two children, right? They have like a few to feed. So still that wouldn't suffice it. And if they want to rely on the government, then we would have a lot of families being taken care of by welfare systems. Do you think that would be right? I mean, don't you think that the government has more important things to worry about than like, I don't know, feeding thousands or millions of families by the year because only the man wants to work out?
If you're not shocked or astonished, I absolutely say, yes, this is the responsibility of the states and government, even at an international level, to come up with global agreements. And in my previous sessions, repeatedly, I emphasized on the, you know, creating a new value system. We suffer. Nowadays, we suffer from not having a practicing feasible values system. And this value system begins with giving values to productive or reproductive activities. Which one? This is a new definition. Okay? If governments, if states, if United Nations provides a new value for the reproductive activities, reproductive responsibilities. By reproductive, we are creating new young generation, humankind. Mm-hmm. They have their own rights.
Okay, Dr. Shamali, you said that we can have virtual education or long distance learning, for example, for women. Yeah. Okay, but what about a gynecologist? A person, a doctor who is an expert on women. Diseases, okay?
Okay.
Islam would definitely not agree or accept to have men or male gynecologists. So we need female teachers for girls.
Exactly.
I mean, based on the system that you were giving, right? So then where would this sharing of responsibility? For on the one hand, you're saying that men have to work and the government has to help them, and then on the other hand, you're saying that we have to have like we have to abide by the Islamic system. We have to have like only female for female. So what would you come up with as a solution?
Always there are alternatives. Don't take things as granted. You know, if really you come up with needs, responsibilities, that you are in need of, you know, female gynecologist, you have to provide environment of single sex
education. But that female gynecologist can be a mother and a wife as well. See, based on the system you said, the ideal system that Islam preferably presents is that the woman stays at home and the man goes out to work. And if it's not possible for, like, if the money is not sufficient, then the government has to help. Then this female gynecologist, she's eventually probably going to get, most probably going to get married. She's going to have children.
Okay.
So
what is so?
You just said that.
You have female gynecologists.
No, you said that the ideal Islamic system is for women to stay at home.
Not necessarily in the case of, you know, needs and gaps. It's an obligation. In Islam, we have the concept of sufficiency obligation, wajib al-kifai. There are jobs, there are positions, there are needs for the Muslim society in terms of different responsibilities like gynecology. In these cases, you know, mom or daughter or female has to go for education outside the house in order to be able to come up with the skills.
Who defines these wajib al-kifais?
You know, this is something reasonable and understandable
okay,
for everyone.
Okay, what if I tell my husband that there aren't enough gynecologists in the society, there aren't enough female teachers,
there,
I want to be a working mom,
there are statistics.
And my husband would come to me and say, no, I want you to stay at home and not go out to work. This is the responsibility of other mothers. Then if everyone says this, then no one's going to go out to
I'm
work.
I'm not talking about the cases and examples. I'm talking about the laws. And ruling.
I know. I'm saying that if everyone says it's the responsibility of others, it's wajib al-kifai.
This is the duty of government and a state to come up to male and talk to them and take them with agreement that you have to send your daughter or your wife or your mom in order to provide sufficient gynecologists in terms of females. Okay? This is not my personal opinion. That I say, I personally don't agree, I disagree. This is not the matter of personal agreement or disagreement. Okay? This is the matter of Islamic social needs. And in Islamic social needs, Wali Faqih comes in between and said, this is your duty like a daily prayer.
Mm-hmm.
It's your duty to provide sufficient man.
So
sources
you would probably
for different needs.
You would probably
gaps.
Agree with the segregated schools?
Single-sex
schools,
of course. This is the only solution when we don't have any other choice. If really we are in need of higher education in terms of different disciplines, different, you know, needs, okay? We have to create single-sex environment, single-sex universities. And in Iran, alhamdulillah, we have cases, we have examples. Al-Zahra University in Tehran, Jamiat al-Zahra in Qom, and if we are in need of new universities, we have to. It's a need. It's a must.
But in this very Islamic Republic of Iran, we have most of the universities are mixed schools.
Universities. But in the mixed schools, you are able to create single-sex departments. It's not the matter of single-sex whole university.
Okay, now...
But always the gate is open. Sufficient obligation, wajib al-kifai, is an obligation.
Mm-hmm.
Like daily prayer. If Muslim society has to beg from non-Muslim societies, it's a shame. It's a duty. It's an obligation.
You know, this reminds me of the example of Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
That even the doctors that they have are mostly coming from other Arab countries.
Yeah.
Women don't even have the right to drive. Okay, and it was very surprising to me to see like women all dressed up and covered like even their faces. But then you see that this is some kind of a tradition. It's not necessarily an Islamic view to life. Like some of them might not necessarily believe in hijab or like hijab in that way, that specific way of covering from head to toe in black, but because it's the prevalent tradition, they have to abide by the laws or the norms.
Always in these cases I differentiate between Islamic and Islamicate.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk about Islamic rulings, Islamic teachings, I talk about pure Islamic teachings which are taken from the Holy Quran and the Sunnah and tradition of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and infallible Imams. But with regard to Islamicate, you know, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Turkey, they are not the role models. They are Islamicate. By Islamicate, I mean, you know, local cultural spices.
They're a mixture, yeah.
You know, always you see the mixture of local cultural with Islamic.
Right.
This is not Islamic. This is Islamicate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throughout the history and the times and places they put from their own local cultures.
Dr. Shamali, I have one more point. You're saying that single-sex schools, universities, hospitals, etc., are the suggested idea that you think is the viewpoint of Islam, right? But imagine a Western society, okay? Unless you're really rich to be able to do so, you have to go to the other schools or universities which are already registered, they're accepted throughout the world, and you have to go study in them, you have to work in places or in offices that are Western-dominated or non-Islamic-dominated, right? But then don't you think that the presence of a Muslim muhajjaba woman, a woman who wears hijab, who covers her hair, and she wears modest clothing, itself can be a kind of dawah, a kind of invitation to Islam. Like, look everybody, I'm a Muslim woman, I'm educated, I'm working, and I'm modest, you know?
You know, to the extent that you're keeping and protecting the borderlines, you're okay. I'm not talking, you know, absolute no for mixed environment. It's not the case. You know, single-sex environment is an ideal proposal. And always we need to distinguish between ideal and real. Sometimes reality does not let you to go by single-sex environment, both in terms of hospitals, universities, you know, job environments, and things like that. Okay? This is the real. This is fair. Second, always you need to be able to distinguish between temporary solution and permanent solution.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Single-sex environments are permanent solutions. But in cases that you are not able to create, or you are in shortcomings financially, humanly, or in other dimensions, okay? You go by temporary solutions. And in temporary solution, as much as, okay, you are careful about the protection of the borderlines and the core, you are okay. You go ahead. Not necessarily in the single-sex environment, you go in the mix, but at the same time, you try your best to protect and to hold and to be careful about the core.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dr. Shamily. Yeah, I'd just like to give a summary of the discussion that we had. We talked about the status of men and women in Islam. Before getting into the status of men and women in family, we said that we have to be observant of the cores. There are no flexibilities in the cores and the form, but in the style and the fashion in the periphery, we have to be wise and creative and apply it to a way that is applicable and suitable to our lifestyle. Also, we have to remember that we as Muslims should not take things for granted. We have to abide by the Islamic rulings and not the Western world or the non-Islamic world if we are living in such a society. Third of all, we have real values versus ideal values. Exactly. We're not living in an ideal society. And then if we're living in a non-Islamic society, we have to distinguish between temporary solutions and permanent ones. Ladies and gentlemen, we hope you enjoyed listening to our discussions. Dr. Shamily, thank you for being with us. We'll have to say goodbye to you now, but don't forget to follow us in our next program. May the peace and blessings of Allah shower upon you all.
Honesty is the best, because life is a test. Even if it hurts so much you want to cry, for the heart of a Muslim does not lie. It's the heart of a Muslim, through the guidance of Islam, that makes you fair and kind and helpful to your fellow man. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look, but what is in your heart. So living as a Muslim means that you must play a part. Allah looks not at how you look,